All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. New episodes every Monday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the In the Dome podcast.
All right, well, we're recording currently while January 6th, the United States is literally burning to the ground. Well, I don't think it's that bad, but it sure seems like it. It looks that bad, but it's not that bad. It's kind of like hockey. It's never as bad as it looks, never as bad as it seems, never as good as it looks, never as good as it seems. So maybe we'll just roll with that. So there's really not a lot of news to cover. We've done a lot of in-depth previews for the season as well as player previews. So we thought we might do some mailbag questions. If you guys are listening and you had a chance, we didn't really there wasn't a lot of time to submit it in. So you might have got it and you might not have, but we'll answer some of you guys' questions. But first, let's go through the news. I thought this was pretty cool. Did you catch this? The Arizona Coyotes announced that they're going to do 25% seating capacity.
Yeah, I'm wondering why. Like, I was thinking about this today. It's like, hey, are the Flames or anybody in the North Division going to announce this? Because, like, I mean, the season starts in a week, so. But what is 25%? Is it capacity? That's still, is that even going to be different for the Arizona building? Well, like, I mean, it's usually full anyway, isn't it?
That was the easiest, like, setup of all time. And if you look in the Twitter comments, you know, everybody made a comment about it. So, somebody's like, yeah, Florida and Arizona are going to lead the
league
in attendance for the first time ever.
They probably still won't. I bet you people still won't show up to the games. Oh, fuck. Arizona's going to be rough to watch this year. But, I mean, good news for fans, right?
Well, I hope.
I hope there's some sort of fans.
Yeah. I don't see why you couldn't do it. Obviously, you know, we've had about a year now of practice and social distancing. So I don't see how you can't go to a giant sports complex and, you know, spread out. So I know the clubs, they all need the revenue anyways. I don't know how the ticket sales will go. Are they going to jack up prices or what?
Yeah. Will it be just season ticket holders? Cause I mean, I know a few people who have season tickets and they said they've already paid for their season tickets.
Right.
So, I mean, you've got to think they would have first dibs. So,
yeah, I think I'll put a poll out on this, like just to see, I'm not sure where people sit. I'm a big fan of getting fans back in the stadium. Like I said, I don't see how you can't pull it off. All these other leagues are doing it. So if they're doing it, and there hasn't been any issues, then I don't see why the NHL can't do it either.
Yeah, totally. Right. I mean, can anything, I mean, if you've been to the Saddledome, you've probably been exposed to the most disgusting, awful bacteria anyways, right?
Dude, one time my bro and I were at a playoff games and we were pounding Caesars before the warm up. And so anyways, we're on the third concourse up there and we both had to piss. So we go into the washroom. He puts one Caesar on either side of the urinal stall up top.
Oh God.
And I'm just sitting there, I'm pissing and I'm looking up and there's a, you know, the pipes are running through. There's like a drip forming. There's a drip forming on the pipe. And you know, it's like one of those instances where you're trying to formulate words fast, but your brain can't. So I think all I was like, blah, 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 like trying to point. And the thing, the drip fell right into his Caesar, dude.
Oh, gross domes.
And yes, it was drunk.
Oh, yeah, totally. Beers are so expensive. How can you
pay like $30 for a Caesar? You might as well.
The last time I ate food at the Saddledome, I was like 15 or 16. And I was at a game with my mom. They were playing the Sharks and they won like 7-4, but we got ice cream. This is literally the last time I had food there because, like, we had ice cream and we got food poisoning so bad. My mom puked all over the Saddledome concourse.
Oh,
I puked on the way home. It was awful. So never, don't get food at the dome. I don't think it's very safe.
I think the only time I've puked from the dome is just by consuming too many heroin beers. Too
many dome beers.
Getting sloppy on the C train on the way home.
Anyways, right. You could probably like find a, like the floor of the Saddledome is like, if you've been in that building, your immune system has probably been exposed to some nasty shit.
Yeah. You probably had COVID already. Yeah. Just didn't know it.
Like 2 years ago.
That's like where it really started.
Yeah.
All right. So we're day three of training camp. Obviously, you know, we're day three. It's like, there's not a whole bunch of news, even though, you know, that as a coaching staff, like how many days are we away now? Is it 8 days, 9 days?
I think it's, what's it start? The Flames play on the 14th. So,
okay. So
eight days. Yeah.
So we're 8 days away. It's already going by fast. Training camp's going to fly by. It sounds like they're going to start to have scrimmages now. I'm curious at what point do they start to cut back and just roll the, you know, the permanent roster? When do they announce that? But, obviously some of the news interesting is line combos. So day one, there's a few interesting looking combos. They started off with, was it Levo with Johnny and Money or Simone with Johnny and Money?
Well, yeah, they had Levo with Lindholm playing center and Tkachuk. And then they had in the other group Gaudreau with Monahan and Simone.
Right. Okay, so, and then obviously, they, as it looks like, they're going Gio and Tanev to start it out, and Rasmus and Anderson for the second unit.
Yeah, and Shillington, I guess, having some, he had some immigration delays. There's, I guarantee you, Michael Stone is just like calling in some favors at the immigration office. He's like, hold that shit up, so I can get my contract.
Right, it's probably Bradtree leaving.
Yeah, and then Valimaki's been playing with Nestrov, so it sounds like. Sounds like Nestrov will probably be in the lineup opening night just because Shillington's delays. So,
yeah, he's supposed to be ready to go.
Yeah, like, I heard soon. Him interviewed. He sounds pretty stoked. I'm willing to give this guy a shot.
Are we talking about Nestrov? I was saying
Nestrov.
Okay. I heard that Shillington's like, he's only like 24 hours day away.
So oh, okay.
Shouldn't be long. Sweet. But
I had heard that maybe he wouldn't even be here till games start. So,
okay. So just had a quick glance because they changed. So to start camp, they had Gaudreau, Monahan, and Simone. And guys like Eric Francis, we had to listen again. Just how great praise that, you know, Crosby had for Simone and yada, yada. This is Crosby. You played with Crosby. Did you guys know he played with Crosby? Did you guys know that Crosby had good things to say about him? I'm sure. I don't know if you heard it or not, but
what a dumb fucking thing that is. Like, what do you think Crosby's going to be like? Oh yeah, that guy sucks. I'm so glad he's gone. Like, what? I don't get why that's a talking point that, oh, Crosby says this guy's really good. It must mean he's really good. It's like, it's Sidney Crosby. He'll never say anything controversial.
Right. And if
thing I've ever heard.
And if Crosby really thought he was that good, he wouldn't be off the team. All right.
From what I've heard from Pens fans is they were like, geez, he was like, he played with Crosby so much and could never score. And they were glad to see him go. So Crosby's probably relieved.
So you're already calling it. Simone's going to be the new reader. But as of today, they've switched that up. So now they got Levo with Johnny and Monty.
Well, I like Simone, you know, like I think he's got some upside, but just the fact that they've already like put him into the top six, right? It's yeah. Like they've tried him with Lindholm. And again, they're just fooling around with lines. But I mean, the fact that we're already seeing him in the top six is just like, come on. I can foresee Jeff going to that well, probably more often than he should this season if we're already starting to see him experimenting with that.
Yeah, but two of the notable constants are Johnny and Monty are still together. Yeah. We'll get into maybe quickly one of the questions regarding if they should split up Johnny and Monty today. And then the other consistent thing so far is Lindholm still at center playing with Tkachuk. Yeah. Now, we haven't done a pod since we've seen these lines rolling out of camp. What do you think of the Lindholm Chucky combo?
Well, I mean, we have a fairly good sample size of the trio of Lindholm, Tkachuk, and Mangiapane last year being super great. Like, was that line not the best look the Flames top line had all year? Was when
better than Backlund, but not better second half Backlund.
Yeah, no, not second half Backlund. The only thing that I'm a little trepidatious about is like, well, where does Mangiapane fit into all this? I know it's like he needs to be in the top six, in my opinion. So, I mean, any combination of those guys, because I think the constant on between what was good about the top six last year was Tkachuk and Mangiapane. So I think pairing those two guys together, or at least having Mangiapane in the top six, is important. Like, I mean, do Tkachuk and Lindholm really work together well specifically? I don't know. Maybe. Right. Like, I haven't seen them work together without Mangiapane being on their line. So I don't know how to flesh out like what they bring together to the table. I mean, I think Mangiapane Tkachuk made that line go more so last year than Lindholm. So I don't know. And then I don't know. I'm a little disappointed we haven't seen Gaudreau and Monahan split up a little bit yet. Because I think I don't know. Well, like,
I don't know, man.
Like, I would like to see that.
Based on some of the player interviews, we'll also get to that because we have some Francis bashing to do yet again.
Yeah.
But it sounds like because Johnny was asked something about playing with Monahan or not, or playing with Lindholm or whatever it was, but he pretty much went out and said like he likes playing with Monahan. It sounded like if it was he got his way, if it was his preference, he would stay with Monahan. That's just what I was reading, just kind of, you know, what he had to say about the situation. I would not be surprised if, you know, there was a conversation with coaching staff and both those guys, and they were like, what do you guys think of splitting you up? Here's what we're thinking, yada, yada. And they were both like, well, maybe not even Sean. I'm sure Sean's just kind of a yes man, right? But I wouldn't be surprised if Johnny, you know, voiced his preference to stick with Monty.
Yeah, and I have no problem with that. I think I'd like to see it tried a little bit because they've been so reticent to do it. And again, like we've said 100 times, if they're not going to address the top six externally, something needs to give in the top, six internally. So,
well, and here's
I don't know, unless that line's just going to be leaps and bounds better this season. It's just they were so bad 5-on-5 last year, pretty much the whole year, that I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like, what else do you do?
Here is going to be my measurement on Ward for the training camp. Does he at least look? I get it if you don't want to start the camp out with Chucky and Johnny on a line, because that's kind of like throws the entire thing off kilter.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I could make an argument that that's a good thing, but if we don't, if look, if there's a time to tinker with it, do it either in the middle of camp or in the later stages of camp and just do it for a day, right? Just so you can get them to take some reps together so they get some feel for each other.
Yeah.
And even just to, are you telling me Jeff Ward's not curious to see what type of a combination Chucky and Johnny are together?
I know. It's just so tantalizing. It's just like, fucking try it.
So if we don't see it in the camp, and I doubt we will, right, based on what we do know about Jeff Ward. But if we don't see that, man, then I don't think we'll ever see it. Well, under this coaching staff anyways.
Yeah, and maybe they'll wait. It's just so you can't – and maybe they're just going, like you said, Johnny Gaudreau prefers to play with Sean Monahan. Maybe they're trying to just shorten season, no preseason, got to hit the ground running. They're trying to go with as much familiarity as possible. Maybe that's the angle here. But, I mean, I sure would like at some point to know what these guys can do apart from each other. And, I mean, again, I don't even really care about the Monahan and Gaudreau thing. I just want Gaudreau and Kachuk to play together. That's really it.
Yeah. All right. And then, so you mentioned Mangiapane. He's been bumped down, which again is kind of crazy, right? Because the whole thing's kind of crazy to split up that line. Sure. If you want to upgrade potentially Backlund with Lindholm, but keep Mangiapane and Chucky, like, I think you're right. Those two guys drive that line in different ways. And that's what makes them so deadly. So the fact that Mangiapane is taking a back seat now to these newcomers, which, right, earlier in the, well, it wasn't the summer, but the off season, whatever it was, a month or so ago, right, I just kind of cautioned, like, you got to be kind of careful if you're Ward. I guess Mangiapane, he's a young guy anyways, but you already have these guys like Sam Bennett and whatnot, and you're just going to throw in these newcomers. I guess they got to see what they look like, but if these new guys – especially Simone, which is kind of like, I get maybe Levo probably deserves to play in the top six, but if Simone's going to, you know, take one of these other guys to spot, he better be fucking lights out.
Well, I just like, and I'm hoping this Mangiapane thing is like, okay, eventually he's going to be with, because Mangiapane was playing in group one with Backlund and Derek Ryan today, and actually kind of don't mind the Backlund-Ryan combination. But I mean, for pretty
which
much
started out as Backlund and Bennett.
Yeah, Bennett with Mangiapane and Backlund.
Yeah.
So maybe they're trying this, like, spread the wealth through three lines. But come on, like, Andrew Mangiapane was the best. He was better than Matthew Tkachuk 5-on-5 last year. He was the, if you look at points per 60, if you look at all his underlying numbers, he was your best 5-on-5 offensive skater last year by a pretty, not a wide margin, but a margin. So I just think if we're, like, I don't like all this talk about, oh, Mangiapane is going to be on the third line. If there's one guy who needs to play more this year and see more ice time and see more power play time specifically, it's Andrew Mangiapane. Like, the dude was your best forward 5-on-5 last year. Get him more ice time. And he needs to be playing in the top six. And I mean, he, like, again, like I said, everyone's, oh, Lindholm. Mangiapane and Kachuk drove the two best lines this season were the Mangiapane Lindholm Kachuk line and the Mangiapane Backlund Kachuk line. I don't think that's a coincidence.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And I don't know if you've seen anything to this nature, but is that a good strategy to roll out three even lines? I don't know. Like,
yeah, I don't know.
Like, it probably comes down to your analytics, right? If you have guys that you know are driving play, they should be getting the lion's share of the ice time because they're going to drive the most amount of play for you. We'll get to Francis shortly, but there's one thing that he did say before camp started that he's predicting that Johnny and Monty will be getting third line minutes this season. So if that's right, I don't know, man.
Where did he come up with this shit?
Well, not only is it kind of a hot take, but if that's the direction you're going, where your two best offensive players are going to be have a significant reduction in ice time, I mean, who's going to score for this team?
Nobody. That's the stupidest shit I've ever heard in my life. But I mean, like, okay, if he's saying it like they're going to be, because I kind of am intrigued by, I know Kent Wilson and maybe some other people have floated this idea out. It's like if Monahan centered your quote unquote third line and you were able to give him some easier minutes, he wasn't talking about Gaudreau, but just specifically Monahan, like if you shelter him, if you had a third line of like maybe you did Monahan between Dubé and Bennett or something. And it's like give them a lot of offensive zone starts, shelter their minutes, and kind of just let them go to town offensively and kind of use them as maybe like it's a little different, but like the old HBK line where Kessel was playing on the third line of the Penguins with Bonino and Hagelin.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I can kind of understand that. But come on, Johnny Gaudreau, are you fucking kidding me? Dude is like I was doing some stuff on Gaudreau the other day. Like, since he entered the league, he is the 10th highest scoring player in the NHL. He's tied with Evgeny Malkin over the past since 2014 in total points. Get out of here. He's not playing on a third line. Ridiculous.
Like, let's get into it. Eric Francis really hates Johnny Gaudreau, doesn't he?
You know what? Eric Francis, I think, just enjoys. I mean, Eric Francis is like the kid in grade school who, like, farts, enjoys the picks smell his of his own fart. And then says who farted. He
eats his own boogers.
He's eating his own boogers. He's like the kid who's.
And then then when people are looking at him, he'll wipe it on somebody else and then laugh. Right? He's just that guy that takes pleasure in people hating him.
Exactly, and takes pleasure in being gross.
Like he gets off on it.
Oh, totally.
It's like, a sick. It's a sick maniacal pleasure. He goes home and pleasures himself at night these weird, twisted, disgusting things that people look at him, right?
Well, exactly. And it's like, it's even more than that. Like this guy, he thinks he's like a hard hitting journalist. Like I bet you when he's reading his articles, he just gets the biggest erection just thinking like, oh yeah, I'm such a journalist. It's like, that's what's so funny he thinks he's like a investigative journalist who asks the hard questions that nobody else will ask, even though in reality, he's a coward.
Oh, yeah. Like all he did. All right. And then I don't know if you can get this clip or not and put it in. But so you sent me the Johnny Gaudreau one. And I watched that first. And then the next day he goes after David Rittich. And I mean, Johnny Gaudreau is one thing. We know that you're trying to drive this guy to town just so that you can be right for something for once in your career. Like at this point, is there any other reason why Eric Francis after Johnny Gaudreau?
Well, he's got this.
The Johnny Gaudreau is a Calgary Flame.
Yeah.
The stupider he looks and he knows it. So now he's actively doing his part to drive this guy out of town. Is he not?
Oh, totally. He's got like this circular thing where it's like he creates this false narrative and then pretends that it's a real narrative and then like has to keep perpetuating it to make himself not look like a fucking idiot, which he is.
Exactly.
Like he started all this dumb Gaudreau shit. Like I remember when Gaudreau was like first like when he was at Boston College and he hadn't signed yet, there was like this kind of freak out. Oh, he's not going to sign with the Flames. He signs with the Flames. And then like literally ever since Gaudreau, like since his rookie season, all we've heard from this guy is he's American. He's from America. He's from the East. He wants to go home. He hates Calgary. Like he started all that shit. And then he acts like it's like some sort of mainstream, like credible information. When it's like, it came from, he's like one of those like old guys back in like the biblical times who was like, the government would like send him into like makeup shit. You know, it's like, it's so fucking dumb.
So if you are wondering what we're talking about,
I'll put it in.
Put it in.
John, I understand you. Welcome back. I understand you got engaged in the offseason. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. Special time, obviously. Someone special to me, and it turned out to be a good 2020 for us.
Second question, just, you know, a lot of people, when they talk about your season last year, they talk about how you need to have a bounce back season. Do you think that's an appropriate way of describing it, or were you satisfied with your season last year?
Well, I'm just going to play my game like I do every year. Work hard, try to help my team win games, and go from there.
But regardless, you start out with a personal question, and then you just, it's kind of like, you know, prepping you're going to stick the needle in, right?
Exactly. It's so obvious. It's like, oh, I didn't see what you're doing there at all, Eric.
And then he asks him just straight up, and I like how he says, there's a lot of people.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying, right? Like, he makes it out like he's the only one who's talking about this.
There's a lot of people who say that, you and your line are going to have a bounce back season. Do you look at it that way? Or are you just happy with your performance? It's like the language. Right?
Well, it's baiting. Exactly. That's what it is. He's trying to set the bait. Are you happy with your performance? And then if Gaudreau says yes, the article will be as, like, he did this in the summer too, like after the playoffs. Like, he asked Gaudreau, like, how do you think your line played in the playoffs? And then Gaudreau was like, yeah, I thought we were okay. And then the next day I can't believe he said that. That's so pathetic. Oh, why don't you own it? It's like, he knows exactly what he's doing. It's so fucking see-through.
And like, at what point do the players, like, I'm sure Johnny Gaudreau, kudos on the response. Yeah, exactly. Like, what do you get? 3 to 4 seconds?
Yeah.
And it's just like, next. He should just straight up be like, next question.
Right. Like,
does this guy not go away? Does he not die? Like, die off? Not die, like, legit, but like, does he not die off? Like,
no,
how, like, is Eric Francis?
Eric Francis is the 0.01% bacteria that Lysol does not fucking kill.
No shit. And why is he getting the first question? Like, with all these players, it's like, he's the top media guy that everybody fucking hates.
Dude, you know why? Can you imagine the media lineup? He's like, again, like that kid. He's that stupid, obnoxious kid who's pushing people out of the way, first in line for ice cream. Me first, guys. So Johnny got engaged. Like, what a fool.
All right. You know what? That one didn't bother me near as much as the Riddick one.
Yeah, no. Yeah. The Riddick one was just like pure gaslighting.
And it's just like, look, Johnny's been in this league how long? He's been dealing with ups and downs. Like, he's a superstar, whatever. He can pull his own. He's fine. But you got David Riddick, man. He's like the nicest guy of all time.
100%.
Look at his brother. Is like, what is it? Autism. Like, did you see that video of him bringing his brother in to meet Harvey? Is like hero.
It's like the most heartwarming thing of all time.
How do you not cry when you see that? Like, literally, David Riddick is like,
He's the nicest guy and one of the best media guys too. Always is super, like, very easy to interview, very easy to talk to. Will give you straight up answers.
And then he just comes out of the gates and tries to tear him to shreds.
What was your reaction when you heard the Calgary Flames signed Jacob Markstrom in the summer?
I mean, great opportunity for both of us, to push each other to get better. And, the biggest thing, which team can say the team has two all-star goalies in the team?
There was no frustration at first, thinking, oh my God, this guy's going to be the starter for the next 6 years. I don't know what this means for my future in Calgary.
Why should I get frustrated? I mean, it's hockey is a hard sport, and you got two spots for goalies, and you have to. Push yourself to get good and to get your spot. So you have to fight for your spot, and it's the same as here. I think we both gonna fight to get net and to get the most games that we can.
I think he thought he kind of got out. Well, he didn't kind of. He totally got outclassed by David Riddick. I was like, fuck yeah, Dave.
Dude, Eric Francis gets outclassed by what, gum on a shoe?
Who's gum that?
Stuck. Eric Francis gets outclassed by, like when you elementary school, and there's like, you find gum on the bottom of your desk. It's been there for like 20 years. Eric Francis gets outclassed by, and they got to bring in a fucking custodian to like chisel that shit off with some sort of weird fucking device that screwdriver he finds in like the pail in the storage closet. Eric Francis is getting outclassed by fucking 30-year-old chewing gum on the bottom of a desk.
So David Riddick responds to his baiting question with, "It's like, it's great. We're going to push each other. And now we have two all-star goalies on the team."
And then, if that, you know, if that's not a cue of like, hey, can you just ask him like something that's not fucking going to depress the hell out of me, please?
Well, and it's not even that because this is the thing. He thinks he's asking hard questions when these are tabloid, dumb, stupid, ridiculous questions just meant to incite a response from players.
Oh, well, then he doubles down and says, come on. You're telling me you didn't have any response when, you know, you heard that Jacob Markstrom is going to be the top goaltender for the next 6 years?
And Dave was class act. He said, why would I be frustrated?
But what pains me, dude, is the disrespect. And it's not even like, I'm not coming from a place where you got to put these guys on a pedestal because they're players. Like, sure, we all do that. We all love them. They're all our heroes. But David Riddick, like the guy, most happy-go-lucky player you'll ever meet. And he comes in and, like, you know, at the beginning of the interview, he's all happy looking and whatever. And then Francis drops that bomb. It just like sucks the life out of him. Like, it's demoralizing, dude. And he's intentionally trying to demoralize players on the eve of the season about to start. I don't understand what his, well, I guess you nailed it, right? You understand why he's doing it, because he's a piece of shit.
Well, again,
my question is, why doesn't he ever, you know, channel that and ask the head coach when he's making these stupid decisions that the fan base wants to, you know, hear an answer about, right? Like, or even Brad Tree Living, like, doing some questionable stuff. He's like the opposite.
Well, it's because, again, like I said, like, these are false. He's creating this false thing where he thinks he pretends he's asking tough questions. Like, that's not a tough question. That's a dick question. Like, that's a dick move. It's like Simmons in Toronto, right? And the other thing, too, that bugs me is, like, he thinks he's asking the tough questions, but he never really asks them. Like Johnny Gaudreau sitting there not knowing, like, he pretends, like, as if Johnny Gaudreau doesn't know that Eric Francis has written 48 pieces over the summer about how he thinks Gaudreau sucks and how he thinks the Flames can never win with Gaudreau. Like, Johnny Gaudreau knows that. And then Eric asks him, oh, I heard you got engaged. Oh, and then kind of skirts around like what he has written all summer. Like, he just kind of asks him in this passive aggressive way. So that's what bugs me more than anything, is like, he's like hiding under this guise of like, I am a tough reporter, when he's cowardly. He won't say it to their faces. Right?
Yeah. Well,
and then do you think he's saying this shit to Lucic or Tkachuk? Why is he singling out guys like Riddick? Lucic would tell him to go get fucked. But Dave is such a nice guy.
Ronaldo.
Like, why doesn't he go crush Zach Ronaldo? Because he
are we in shape yet?
Yeah, exactly. Like, anybody who is not like super nice and reserved would tell this guy to get fucked. So he just gets away with it because he's a little rat.
He's a little rat.
Like, would he ever criticize Brad Tree Living? Ever?
No.
And risk his, like, not that he's an insider or whatever, but risk his, like, access in, like, no way would he ever, like, I don't think I've ever seen him criticize Brad Tree Living once or ask Brad Tree Living a hard question. So it's just spineless reporting.
Because those kids are also simultaneously the teacher's pets, are they not?
Exactly, right?
All right. Anyways,
Johnny sucks, Brad.
Yeah, he's the guy that,
teacher. Well, you forgot to give Johnny Gaudreau homework over the summer. Fucking tool. I just get so sick of it.
Bottom line, most people, right? If they want to pleasure themselves, they might throw some porn on or something. This guy reads his own articles, and that's how he gets the job done.
Yeah.
And you know he's pleasuring himself, because I don't understand who or what.
He's always so red. I don't understand. Like, that's the other thing that drives me insane. Like, you see all these, especially right now with like all these layoffs and with like sports companies and stuff. Like, there's so many good journalists and so many talented people out there who would die for this job. And then it's like, he's the guy who gets to ask the first question in Calgary Flames media availability all the time. Like, there's somebody who isn't more competent as a journalist than Eric Francis out there. Get the fuck out of here.
Dude. Oh. All right. So, anyways, a couple of you asked us, Lindsay. Hey, girl, how you do, babe? You guys asked us how to, what our thoughts on Francis were. You wanted us to lay into him, so there you go.
I mean, we could spend hours laying into this guy, but God, it just bugs me. And we have to start.
And if you're listening, and
yeah, we will.
Let us know. We gotta go back in time and just accumulate all the bad takes that he's ever made, and just.
Yeah, this guy. Well, that's what I was going to say, because I've kind of been watching some games from last year just on Game Center, and they have all the intermissions shit. He's always on there saying stupid, ridiculous stuff. The other night, I was going to clip it and put it to the Curb Your Enthusiasm music. He was talking about how the Flames were going to sign Travis Hamonic to a huge extension because he's such a big part of the team and such a big part of the blue line. And don't be surprised if we see Hamonic signing a fairly lengthy extension with the Calgary Flames.
Yeah. Good. Meanwhile, he's on a PTO.
In Vancouver.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. All right. Let's get to some questions.
Well, let's just wrap up on the Lions in training camp. I don't know. I still think that they need to do some more tinkering, to be honest. I think you're right. I don't think much. I guess it depends how they're going to roll out. How do you split up, you know, the minutes properly between three? What is it going to be? If last year they tried to say it was, you know, two second lines, there wasn't really a top line. So what's it going to be now? There's not just three third lines, three second lines. Like, what is it going to be if that's what they're going to do? But like we said, they had Monge start with Backlund, Bennett. Now it's Monge, Backlund, Ryan.
Well,
with Lucic, Bennett, yeah. And Dubé, which again, that's like the third line. So like, I don't know. It's going to be interesting.
I'll just say, like, I actually don't mind the idea of maybe going like having those three lines like that. If you're giving lines two and three, kind of equalize. I'm just worried that Mangiapane's not going to get enough ice. But I mean, I don't like the idea of Bennett playing with Backlund and Mangiapane, because that kind of, yeah. It kind of neuters what Mangiapane and Backlund do so well, which is drive play and play well in their own zone, which is like, that's not Bennett's game at all. So, I mean, that's the one I was like, I don't like that. Cause I don't mind the Kachuk, Lindholm, Levo thing. I'm not crazy about Simone playing with Johnny Gaudreau and Sean Monahan. That seems like more of what we've seen in the past, where it's like a guy like Chiasson plays there, and then you put Ferland in there. It's just like a rotating door. It's like, just make your top line elite for once. Yep. You know?
Like, I don't see how you can, with the lineup that they have, I don't see how they can actually truly move forward without splitting up Johnny and Monty. Not because they need to be split up, but you need to create a better lineup, and that's kind of the only way you can really do it.
Yeah, and again, like, it all comes back to strategy. It's like, well, do you, like, if you're rolling these three lines out in a strategic way, but it's just like the top six is already thin. Taking, like, if Backlund and Mangiapane are out of your top six because you're trying to, like, make your top nine better, I think it's just kind of like, what's the phrase? Like, cutting off your nose to spite your face or whatever. I don't know what the phrases. I don't know my phrases.
I think that is it, but man, I still don't understand it. But
yeah, it like it's just like you're cutting off one thing to make another thing effective. It's just, it doesn't, I don't know. I don't think it's gonna work. It's just like, again, they're maybe overcomplicating this. Just like, solidify your top six and go from there.
Yeah. So Pedro was asking the question, Pedro and Calgary, thoughts on breaking up Monty Johnny. Here's the lines that he proposed. Johnny with Lindholm and Monge on the top line.
I don't mind that.
Chucky, Backlund, Levo.
Yeah, I don't mind that either.
Bennett, Monahan, Dubé.
Yeah, I like that.
Lucic, Ryan, Simone.
Yeah, yeah, those are totally fine with me. Like, again, if there's the thing that's becoming difficult is, what do you do with Sean Monahan, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, really? that's why I brought up the idea that Pedro's kind of floating here is like, and I know Ken Wilson's been a proponent of utilizing Monahan in a lesser pure offensive role. Because it's so hard. Like, what do you do with him?
Instead of trying to force him to be the next Mark or the Patrice Bergeron.
Yeah.
Like, why not go all in on his strengths?
Yeah.
Just always start in the offensive zone, get him guys who can set him up. And I think it was Kent Wilson, wasn't it, that was making an argument that Bennett would be good to retrieve pucks for those guys?
Yeah, like he had like Pedro said, he had Monahan with Dubé and Bennett because those guys are both really good forecheckers. Dubé's pretty good at moving the puck in the zone as well. So, yeah, that could work. I don't know. It's just kind of tough where to put Sean Monahan because, I mean, if you split him and Gaudreau up, do you really trust him playing with two? Like, that's the thing. Like, Gaudreau kind of gets lumped into this like, oh, he's bad defensively when he is actually quite okay on his own. It's Monahan who's, like, weighing that line down in the D zone so much. So, I don't know. It just becomes a problem. I have no problem with those lines.
Well, the thing is, and I think Kent might even said this too, with Johnny and Monty, right? It's either you either get it all or you get nothing because their liability defensively, if they're not scoring goals, then their liability becomes a big problem on a nightly basis.
Right. So that's why they
have to be scoring consistently at a pace, maybe not exactly the same as 2018-19, but they still have to be scoring at a good clip in order to offset their defensive struggles.
Again, which is why, like, we're going to play them in the D zone so much. It's fucking ridiculous.
Yes.
And, yo, I would love to see Mangiapane. If there's one guy other than Tkachuk I'd like to see play with Gaudreau, it's Mangiapane. I think that'd be sweet. Because he's a sniper and he can forecheck. He can fly through the neutral zone. I think Mangiapane is a similar player to Gaudreau. I don't think I don't think he passes the puck nearly at the same level. But I mean, in terms of how he plays through the neutral zone, and I think he's a better shooter, I think those two guys could work well together if need be.
I'm almost at a place where I just kind of feel like you got to split those two up if you want to maximize your lineup.
Yeah, I agree.
Although we did have, but you know, we didn't throw this aspect or wrinkle into it for Versteeg. Versteeg still thinks that Sean Monahan is the number one center. But he doesn't like how he was utilized.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the argument we're making. But at the same time, right, if Monahan does slot down, you can probably make your lineup even better.
Totally. I just like, again, like it's all about what you're asking them to do because, I mean, they tried Monahan with Dubé and Mangiapane for like all of one game last year. We didn't really get to see much of that. So, I don't know. It's mostly going to come down to how these guys are utilized and playing to their strengths. So,
yeah. All right. So, we'll keep an eye on line combos like throughout the training camp. I honestly, at this point, I think I know Ward well enough. We're not going to see much change.
Same.
Johnny and Monty will start opening night together, which I actually don't really have a problem with as long as he can figure out the utilization.
I don't have a problem with it if it works and, like you said, if they figure out the utilization because, again, we've seen that line be insanely dominant when they were allowed to just go nuts in 2018-2019, but then we've seen how fucking god-awful they were when they were playing under that whatever that was last year. So,
which kind of leads me to the next question. Clayton D'Agostini wants to know, do we lose our first game again? And what do you think? He wants me to do a poll, which I will do. I think this is a good question. Are we going to be above or below 500 in the first 10 games of the season?
Notorious slow starters. Why is that? Is that just one of those things?
Well, it's got to come down to preparation, right? And I think the onus is on both the players and the coaching. So, but ultimately it has to come down to the coach. If the coach recognizes the players aren't on early enough, he's got to do something to get them on. Ideally, the players are just on, but I think, you know, it's 75% coaching, 25% players.
I'll say we win that first game against the Jets. And you know what? I'll say Markstrom makes the difference in the first 10 games.
We go above 500?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like your I like that take. Let's see. I think we'll probably lose the first game like we always do.
And if it was against Edmonton or Toronto, I'd say yes, but we can handle the Jets.
And I'll say we're just exactly 500.
All right.
After 10 games.
It's fine with me.
I've just been burnt way too many times. I'm getting sick of it. That's where the pessimism is coming from. Like I don't want to be optimistic anymore about our starts. Like I'm done with it.
Well, yeah, it's like then you win either way.
Either I'm right or I'm happy. Okay. Exactly. I don't want to be right. But at least if I'm unhappy, I'm right. Okay.
I've never been happy, so I may as well be right, right?
Yeah. Okay. I think I got one more question here. Is what do you think Yusuf Alamaki will accomplish this year? This is Eric for Dickinson.
Yeah, we've got a similar one.
Hold on, it's just Dixon, not Eric for Dickinson, just Dixon.
Dixon. Yeah, similar one from Gradom or on Instagram. Could Valimaki win the Calder? I really do think he could, should, and will be an impact player this year. Right.
So like, who's gonna be in the Calder running? If you're looking at it's
Laffy for sure.
Yeah. But even still, like, is he gonna have as big of a splash? Like, how old is he gonna be?
Well, he's 21, right?
He's 21. He's coming right out of his draft.
Oh, I thought you meant Valimaki. I'm sorry, Valimaki's 22. Laffy, has he turned 19 yet? I'm gonna look it up right now.
Although he's gonna get all the opportunity right away on that New York Rangers team.
Oh yeah.
So by the second half of the season, he might just turn it on. But here's the thing. The shorter season might suit a guy like Valimaki, who's already going to be, he's already been playing all this hockey in Finland. He's wearing the gold helmet.
Exactly. He's been playing. He's played a decent amount of games in the NHL before. He's played in playoff games. Like, do you remember when he came into game 5 and was awesome?
Yes. He looked amazing. He was kind of like Makar stepping for the Avalanche, but
totally.
I feel like that to me, like, if it was a full season, maybe Laffy has enough time to get his feet under him and like catch up to, you know, a pace that Valimaki might set early on.
Yeah.
Who else is in the Calder?
Well, I mean, there's probably Stutzel's going to play for Ottawa. Like, there's some bigger names. The goalie in New York, I guess he's a rookie. He'll be 25, but Shesterkin, who else? The Minnesota Wild guy, Kaprizov, he might be there. I don't know if Byfield might play, probably. I don't know. Maybe Zegras will play. Balls on that kid, eh? Zegras? Yeah.
Fuck, he was good.
Oh, he's so good. Bowen Byram maybe will play.
Bowen Byram's good too.
But I mean, like, I don't think there's any reason why Yusuf Alamaki won't be in the Calder Trophy. And they interviewing him the other day, and I loved what he said. He was like, I belong in this league and I'll be a difference maker this year. I love it.
Yeah. So, like, I mean, I think it's not even, you know, that far of a projection to say he'll be in top three in Calder
Trophy. And even if he's not in the Calder discussion, like, I do think he will still be an impact defenseman on this team.
Cause he was our eighth overall.
Valimaki?
Yeah.
No, I think he was like 17th ish.
16th?
Back in 2017. It was like 17 or 18, I think. 19?
If it's not 8, I want to say 16.
I feel like it's we're going to find this out right now. I feel like it's definitely late teens. Mackie draft 17th overall. He was 16th overall, you're right.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, he's due and dude, he's got the golden helmet, okay? So
dude, yeah, if you've been watching him play over in Sweden, like I've posted a few things. We've been watching highlights. Dude looks phenomenal.
Yeah. Sorry, I lied. My question is from PJ Walsh. I would like to know if the Flames will continue to have the same power play where the pocket drops back to Johnny. He gains the blue line like every single season he's been here. # everyone gets it. What are your thoughts on, like, let's touch on the power play real quick.
Yeah.
And what are your thoughts on the back pass? Because, I mean, we've kind of gone back and forth on it last season. My argument is if it works, it works. I don't care. Whatever gets you in the zone. The nice thing about the back pass, we've seen the double back too, right?
Yeah. I like the double back.
I'm just waiting for the triple back.
Triple back's coming, baby.
Triple back is coming. But the thing I like a lot about it is the amount of speed you can enter the zone in.
Yeah.
It's way harder to defend that type of speed look at Connor McDavid, right?
Yeah.
But the thing is, if it's predictable, and it's actually not that difficult to make it unpredictable, because you don't have to go to Johnny every single time. And if you see the guys cheating, which they do this.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, and Gio does an okay job at it, I think. Well, honestly, because we haven't talked about this either with training camp, Rasmus Anderson has been playing on the top PP unit, right?
Yeah.
And did that change today?
I didn't see any change today, so I think it was the same.
I feel like Rasmus Anderson, with a bit of practice, he can probably give you a little bit more deception coming back and a little bit more confidence to take that puck or dish it elsewhere if he notices guys cheating. He might be able to distribute that pretty well. I think, honestly, though, like, Yusuf Alamaki will eventually be the guy.
Yeah, I've been a little, just before I just talk about the Gaudreau stuff, I would like to see Noah Hanifin possibly get a look, because I think that's where his skills would be the most useful. In all the places they play him, put him on the power play.
I wouldn't trust him dropping back with.
Oh, he'd just wait till there. Yeah.
Yeah, he'd wait till Johnny was, you know, going the other way, and then drop pass breakaway for their team.
So just on the bump back, like the drop pass, like the reason it works, that it's so effective, is that you pretty much, like, you can gain the zone, especially with like a team that has one of the best zone entry wizards in the game in Johnny Gaudreau.
Yeah.
It's almost indefensible. And like, one, if it's a successful zone entry, you have the complete control of the puck. Like, really, what's the defenseman supposed to do if you're doing that? Like, you can either concede the blue line and back up and let them gain control that way, or you hold up at the blue line and Johnny can drop it to Lindholm, who's coming with a bunch of speed, and you're flat footed and he can beat you wide. So like, that's why the drop pass works so well on the power play. And I mean, it gives you so many different options once you gain the zone too. Like, most people are looking for, if like, it's just so hard to defend against. That's why it works so well. And I think it's even been like studied. Like, one of the guys who does analytics for the Colorado Avalanche now, before he was hired, he did like a whole study and studied the effect of the drop pass and discovered it like led to way more zone time. So, I mean, I am a big fan of the bump back, just because, like you said, creates so much speed to the neutral zone. It gets teams to lean to one side, so it opens so much more up. So I think if it continues to work, and again, maybe we'll see the triple pass. I'm sure there will be some new strategies coming soon, because if the NHL is anything, it's a copycat league. And like, is there any team that doesn't do the drop back on the power play anymore?
Well, I'm sure there's a few. Like
I haven't seen very many, and I've seen some penalty kills start to adjust to it. But I mean, that's why you'll continue to see it, especially with a guy like Gaudreau, who even 5-on-5 is so good at entering the zone. Like, on the power play, it's like, that's, he's so good at it. So, but as for the unit, like, I like the idea of Rasmus back there, but I'm kind of curious, because like, I was looking at some pulling the goalie stats the other day, and he is like the most frequent extra attacker for the Flames.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Not a forward, though.
Not a forward. It's usually Rasmus who's like, because they'll usually throw out the usual like four forward group when the goalie's pulled, and then Gio, and then Rasmus is the guy. And I was just, he's so good at holding the line.
Yeah.
On the blue line. So maybe that's factoring into why they're starting to play him on power play one. Because just when I'm looking at just the numbers, like, Hanifin does look like he is more dangerous on the power play in terms of creating goals, but maybe there's more to it. Maybe they've got some different metrics they're looking at. Maybe it's because he's more solid on the blue line than Hanifin. I'm not sure, but hey.
Yeah, with Hanifin, like, if Hanifin's your last line of defense, like, I'm already nervous, because the guy is not smart enough to – I mean, we've seen it enough times.
Oh, I'm going to pinch Sean Connor McDavid, even though I don't have a gap on him.
And there's no one behind me. Oops, breakaway.
So I like, and again, like, I still think Gio is an effective power play guy, but he just probably shoots into the shin pads a little too much.
Yeah.
So, did that answer the question?
Yeah, I think so.
I think so.
All right. What do you got on Insta?
Yeah, we got a couple good ones. We got that one about Valimaki. We got one from you that I better not read on the air. might be a little inappropriate.
Oh, it's definitely inappropriate. You should probably read it.
Yeah, I probably shouldn't. There's a few good just comments that say fuck Eric Francis.
Okay, well, we spent a good, you know, a good chunk of Eric Francis. Hopefully we satiated everybody with that.
Is a Pierre-Luc Dubois trade something the Flames should look into? Because apparently there's trouble brewing in Columbus.
Well, I mean, if your hands weren't tied, right? And we know Brad likes to, you know, have his hands tied right up to the cap pretty much at the start of every season, pretty much always. So I don't think there's anything he can do unless you wanted to move Monahan. But, like, is this organization really looking at moving Monahan yet? I don't think so. I don't think they are. I'm not saying that they should be. I don't think they should be, honestly. I'd be totally into it, right? If that was the case, but I don't think that's where they're at.
It's like, what are you going to give up? What do the Flames have? That's the thing, right? Like, everyone's always, oh, we should trade to get this. It's like, we literally have no trade chips. You're going to go out and acquire a number one, number two center without, what are you going to give them? Hannafin? Like, why would the Blue Jackets ever do that? Even if you did do, like, hey, Monahan plus, like, is PLD going to, like, let's say you did Monahan and, like, your top prospect. Like, I don't think that's really makes sense for the Flames. And I still don't think the Blue Jackets would do that. So I'd like PLD the player. I don't think a trade makes much sense.
Listen, and here's, like, well, I'll always come back to this with regards to Monahan is, like, the hardest thing to do in the NHL, the hardest thing to do in hockey is to score goals. This guy scores 30 goals a season. He's been our most prolific goal scorer since you know who. Like,
well, dude, he still leads that draft class, which Nathan MacKinnon, he still leads that draft class in total goals.
And I think this is just one of those things that happens in sports is fans measure you to the highest degree of success possible.
Yeah.
And it's like, if he's not exceptional in every area of hockey, then he's not valuable. And it's just not true.
Totally.
Like, the amount of value that Sean Monahan brings to this club, you could go out, like, unless you're trading for Line A, like, how you, like, who's going to score more goals than Sean Monahan, right?
Right.
And it's not like, listen, he's bad in his own end. And part of that last year, especially, was due to coaching. But we saw it the year previous. It doesn't matter because most nights they're going to score more goals than they allow unless their coach is trying to force them into being players they're not, which is what's currently happening. So we don't know what's going to happen this season. Mm-hmm. But, for those reasons, I think, like, I don't – would I like Pierre-Luc Dubois? Of course I would, man. Like,
yeah.
He's not only is he a gamer, he's an excellent player. But just for the reason, like, I just don't see how Tree Living could make that happen. Like, I don't know. I'd say no.
Sam Bennett, VN Tony asked this. Does he finally have a good regular season? This one just came in.
You already all know the answer. It's no. We all want the answer to be yes, right? That's why we ask it every single year. The answer is no.
I agree, man. Like, this is
he's... I want it more than you do. I want it more than anybody.
No.
I fucking love the guy. But that's why, you know, I got to be realistic. No.
I don't see it happening. And again, like, at this point, we have to just know what Sam Bennett is. He's a bottom six player who can provide some physicality and chip in some goals and help you in a playoff run probably. Right. Like, well, I don't think he's ever going to be anywhere near what he was projected to be when he entered the league.
And the thing is we should get to that in a sec, but the thing is like where Jeff Ward is, he better stop dicking around really quick. Right. Cause if he tries to force these players into players, they're not. Because all you're doing, like, is you're trying to spread the butter too thin over the toast. You got to go all in on their strengths.
Totally.
Because what we saw in 2018-19 is their strengths far outweighed their weaknesses. That's the game plan for these guys. Now, the same thing with Sam Bennett. I thought it was interesting when we had Chris Versteeg on. Because Chris Versteeg, we asked him, like, what the hell are you supposed to do with this guy? Like, what? And Chris said, it's kind of like the same similar situation. It's like, if the coach understands who Sam Bennett is, then he knows how to utilize them. And he says the best way to utilize them is the same type of utilization, probably not the exact same as Derek Ryan, but Derek Ryan's your Swiss Army knife, right? He plays up and down the lineup. If there's an injury goes down, he can plug any hole temporarily and do a seamless job at it. I think Sam Bennett, this is what Chris Versteeg saying, and if he's right, I think he can do the same thing, but he can probably give you way more potential upside than Derek Ryan can if he times his confidence at the right moments. So
totally.
I don't think, because his biggest point was he's not a player you build a line around, and I think that's what we're all trying to hope.
Yeah.
That, and we're all trying to force that. And so if you take a step back and you realize, okay, he is what he is, then what value, where do we put him in a position to bring value, the most amount of value through the regular season? And I think that might be it.
Totally agree. Off the top of your head, who is one top six player you would like to target? That's from Parker Price.
Dude, I will live and die with this. Brady Tkachuk.
Love it.
If Brian Burke can get Henrik and Daniel on the same team in a draft and keep them, well, he left before they did, but if they can play for one team their entire lives and never be separated from one thing they ever do together, they're probably together right now. Like, are they not? Like, whatever they're doing in Sweden
right now. They're all working out. They're all running like a 2-minute mile right now.
Like, not even sweating.
Yeah.
Right? They're doing it together. Are they holding hands? Probably. Okay. But if you want to go out and target someone, I guess it's a tougher situation because they're in a rebuild and it's just like, that's their key asset. You're not going to get them. So my dying wish, yes. But if you're going to ask me someone more realistic, maybe I got to think about that. Who would you pick?
Somebody realistic, if Montreal starts to struggle, I'd really like the Flames to take a flyer on Philippe Deneau. I think he'd be a great center.
Yeah, you've been banging that drum for a bit.
I kind of wish they'd tried to trade for him in the offseason. Like, he's super underrated. He'd be a perfect fit for what ails this team. Like, somebody maybe a bit more high profile. Like, maybe he could get, like, a guy like Thomas Hertl on the Sharks. Like, they're in a world of cap. That's the thing, though. We're so fucked against the cap. It's hard to even, like, play this game, because it's like, yeah, but we can't.
Remember when we could have had Mark Stone?
Oh yeah, I forgot.
But we wouldn't have Yuso, it
didn't work out.
We wouldn't have had Yuso. So, and that's the thing, is like, it's hard. It's not easy to get.
Totally hard, except when there's guys like Anthony Cirelli signing for less than $5 million because nobody has the balls to offer sheet him.
How about Toffoli?
Yeah, Toffoli would have been perfect under $5 million. Right hand shot, shoots a ton, drives play. Nah. All right, a few more from Instagram. What are the chances the Flames miss the playoffs in the North Division?
I think it's too big of a chance for my liking, to be honest.
Yeah, I think it's closer than people think, probably.
And the only reason why is because until we see this team hit a stride, and this has been both, yours and my biggest concern, is under Jeff Ward, are they going to? I don't know. Jeff Ward seems to think they're trending in the right direction. All the analysts, all the, Calgary journalists and analysts seem to think Ward's a savior. I haven't really seen anybody, post anything or analyze anything differently. But even though a lot of, right, the metrics state otherwise, but because of that reason, my biggest concern is Ward. If I knew we had a legit coach and he was going to, roll out a system and put all these players in positions where they're going to excel their strengths, I would think for sure we're going to finish top three. I still am predicting we'll finish top three, but I just think that third and fourth and fifth position is going to be within 4 or 5 points. So if you go on a little bit of a skid, and we did it the last two seasons, so why wouldn't we? I think we did it the last four seasons.
It's been eternal, man.
It's like we do it every year. Yeah. So until we stop doing that, then I don't know. I think we're in the top three, but I think we're also a bubble team because I think, you know, that 3, 4, 5 is going to be so close.
It's going to be super close that it totally could happen if four teams make the playoffs. You get off to a rough start. You're fucking around with the lines too much. Could totally happen. Like, Winnipeg still has a great forward group. They could overtake you. We know what Edmonton can do. The Habs should be better. So I don't think it's out of the realm of possibilities.
Like, look at Edmonton. What did they start off? They were like 16-1 last year.
Oh yeah, they were great.
And then they almost made the they almost missed the playoffs.
Then they got beat by Chicago, like the worst team in the return to play.
That's the thing, is, man, with this shortened season, like, yeah, you can't go on any skids. Like,
the margin for error is incredibly thin, and we have a coach who, you know, has screwed up a lot. Like, do we not forget how the season ended? Are we forgetting that? It ended on a complete and utter breakdown and a coaching blunder. So I don't know. All right, three more quick ones before we wrap it up. Well, I get four more quick ones. Why Markey's pads? This is from Bone Jack Designs. Markey's pads. Give me some color. What do you think of Markstrom's pet setup? I thought it was lame.
All white. I like it.
Yeah,
I like it just because it's kind of different. But dude, how sick would all red look?
Exactly.
He's got the red in there. I mean, I like it.
I don't like it. Got to get one in from Teeman.
Demon.
Yeah. Which Flames player is going to break out and who's going to fall off?
Ooh, great question.
I think like Rasmus is a prime candidate. I'm kind of like crossing my fingers that Hannafin has a really good year, but dude, I'll say Valimaki is the breakout player of this year.
Hannafin is the Bennett of defense. Okay. For our defense.
Yeah. And if he doesn't break out this year, we'll know.
No, we already know. Sorry. Who'd you say was going to fall off?
No, I haven't said yet. I said Valimaki's going to be the breakout player. Who's going to fall off? Like, I mean, it's pretty easy to see Chris Tanev is ready to fall off a cliff again. So,
yeah, but he's not even a returning player. Can you pick a returning player?
Pick a returning player to fall off. Like, I hope Michael Backlund doesn't fall off, but I mean, he could.
I don't think he's there yet.
It's a little concerning. He's like the only guy, the major guy, can think like, might be a problem. You know what? Who might be an actually good candidate is Lucic. Like, this might be the year where like, oh shit, I forgot how, like, why we were so upset when we acquired him.
Now I remember. No, I think he yeah. How long is that foot speed just going to continue just to dwindle into oblivion?
Like, can he get any slower? I sure hope not.
Okay. So here's where I'm at. I would love to see Dubé be that guy. I still think he might be 1 year away.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with Levo as he's the breakout guy for me. I bet you that he, just in the way that, you know, the top six, that one position has been kind of a revolving door for a bit. They're already starting him up there. I think he'll solidify a top six role just with the amount of goals he's able to score. I think you'll find chemistry in the top six with regardless. How do you not find chemistry if you're playing with Johnny and Monty? And how do you not find chemistry if you're playing with Tkachuk? So he'll be my pick for breakout.
All right. Last one.
Falling off a cliff.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, man. I got to go with that. I'll have to go with Hannafin.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've eased up on him, which is kind of weird, eh?
You've turned
a little bit.
Just wait until they take Rasmus Anderson off his line and put him with Tanev.
Yeah, I can't wait. All right, last one,
and
Josh.
And the main reason for the Hannafin thing is going back to, hey, if I'm wrong, I'm happy.
Exactly. I've never been happy. Last one, Josh Fenneman. Honest opinion about the Battle of Alberta. Who wins the regular season series between the Flames and Oilers? I think the Oilers are a better team, probably.
Oh, don't even say it, man.
I don't know, man. I've just been like, I've been having like these, dude, literally been having fucking night terrors about McDavid going head to head against Hannafin and Tanev.
Dude, even if they are a far better team, they still fucking suck. All right. They always suck through the Oilers. I don't even care. In the All Canadian Division prediction podcast we did, I said that they were going to go 500 against them. I'm going to stick to that. I'll say they go 5-5. If there's some overtime wins on either side and they get a point, then yeah, I'm just going to say they get 10 points out of a possible 20.
I'm hoping Markstrom, like, I'm going to look up his numbers against the Oilers after this, just because I'm curious now. I'm hoping Markstrom is like our saving grace against the Oilers, because like I said, I've been like, this season is probably going to kill me. Like, I'm stressed out about enough about hockey as it is. Like, to most of you people who are normal, like, you enjoy watching the Battle of Alberta. Like, do you remember when the prospect was the Flames were going to play the Oilers in the playoffs and I was like sick to my stomach? Like, that's what I'm like. Like, it makes me sick. Like, I watching a Flames Oilers game is like an out of body experience for me. Like, it's not enjoyable. I'm terrified the entire time. I get sick. Like I said, I was at both of the insane Battle of Alberta's this year.
With the Smitty and Talbot fight.
And I like watched
and the three beller with Tkachuk, the stay off the tracks.
I was at both of those games.
Dude, did they win both those?
No, they won the one 4-3 because Cassian took the dumb penalty and they scored on the power play, but then they got smoked in the other one 8-3. But I watched Connor McDavid fly by Noah Hanifin so much. And Travis Hamonic, and I'm literally having like terrible visions of just 10 games against the Oilers and McDavid's and the broadcast, and they're all just me losing their minds about McDavid. And it's just like, it's going to make me sick. It's already making me sick. I'm not going to enjoy it. So I'm hoping Markstrom is like just like God and can just like shut Connor McDavid down.
Yeah, I guess like if you're going to look at our season as a whole, you got two wild cards, right? How good is Markstrom going to be? How big of an effect is he going to be? Hey, when was the last time we had a goalie even remotely close to a Vezina conversation?
Right. Well, like even though Talbot was pretty good down the stretch last year and Brittick was good in some few games.
Yeah, but was he remotely close to a Vezina?
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. It's fucking terrifying when Draisaitl's got the puck on his stick in the offensive zone. You're just like, shit, like, it's terrifying. Now that Markstrom's in net, maybe it'll be a little less terrifying.
Yeah. So that's the one wild card. The other one on the other side of the spectrum is Jeff Ward. Like, let's just hope that he doesn't suck as much as we think he might. And let's hope that he can extract, you know, the biggest strengths and the best value out of his players.
Did you know that your favorite band also loves your favorite hockey team? If you love hockey and you love music, you're going to love Bar Down Breakdown, a podcast that explores the crossover between alternative music and the sport we love, hockey.
Every NHL player wants to be in a band, and every band guy wants to be a pro athlete.
With guests from all over the globe, come along with us as we interview some of the most captivating names in alternative music. And talk about why we love hockey and how it's influenced us.
You know, there was a few seconds, I thought, like, well, maybe we should wear Montreal jerseys. And the NHL was like, I think you should stay neutral. And we're like, yeah, you know what? You're probably right.
So tune in every Tuesday on the Hockey Podcast Network, where we'll have a brand new guest and a unique look into the bridge between hockey and music.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.